from Paul to this church in Galatia. You see, Paul has been spending a lot of energy and tears and headaches and probably, you know, sleepless nights on this church. The sad news is that these people in Galatia, the Christian church in Galatia, many of them were going astray. Were going astray for these other false teachers and teachings. And so Paul, in verse 11, as you see, you know, the tradition was that Paul was dictating this to a scribe, a secretary, to write down what he was trying to communicate in his epistles to the different churches. But now Paul says, give this to me. Give me that pen. And he writes, says in verse 11, see with what large letters, I am writing to you with my own hand. He's given them his own personal signature. Just so they know, this is me, this is Paul. The same Paul that you have met. The same Paul that was transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit in his ways to Damascus. The same Paul that was confronted by Jesus himself. That Paul is writing one more time to the Galatians, closing this letter with some powerful words given by God through him. So one last call. And I hope you also see the urgency of the moment. There you see that this is a very important moment for the church in Galatia. This conclusion. And you know what? We need that kind of calling, that kind of call today. Because many of us, and I include myself in this, are asleep. We are lethargic. We are slow to process the gospel. Even though we've been in the church since we were little kids. But we are still trying to understand the gospel and to apply it into our lives. And I talk about myself here too. I have studied the Word of God for many years, and I still miss the point. I miss the point many times. Have you missed the point? So Paul writes now with big old letters, telling the Galatians, listen, listen, this is the true gospel. The true gospel tells us that we have been reconciled to God, the Father. Because as Ephesians 2 tells us, we were once enemies of God. We were God's enemies. But he sends his begotten Son, rich in mercies, because God is compassionate. He sends his begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to fulfill the law, to live the life that we could not live, resist temptation, as you see in Matthew 4, facing the devil himself. Jesus resists temptation, live a perfect life of obedience, where we were to call to live in that obedience, where we fail, as we see in Genesis 3, but Jesus didn't. And he goes to the cross to pay the debt. Oh, how happy I was when I paid my credit card debt. How happy I was. I remember I getting some serious debt back in college. I mean, I had to buy books. I had a job, but it wasn't enough. You know how it is. So I had to get a credit card, and I thought, I'm just going to get this for books. And then my statement at the end of the month keep increasing and increasing and increasing because I was adding other things. You know, I wanted to take my girlfriend out. You know, that means spending money. And I didn't have a girlfriend in college, so Mary Jo, don't worry. It's just an example. So, you know, we have expenses. And, you know, life is expensive. Books, doctor visits, insurance, and the list goes on. But, you know, I was not a good manager back then with my money. So I had to learn the hard way. And, oh, yes, I learned my lesson. And so, yes, it was a glorious day, I remember, when I had to make my last payment in my credit card. And I called the people on the other, you know, the credit card company, and I said, I'm going to make my last payment over the phone. And you please, I want you to tell me right now that I owe you zero. I want to hear it from your lips. I'm not playing games, I said. Because this has been a trial to me for 3 years. And so, Mr. Ayon, yes, you owe us zero. And that's what Paul has been telling the Galatians. In Jesus Christ, your debt has been paid at full. So, glory to God for that. But they don't get it. And many times we don't get it. So, to live the true gospel brings, point number one, that's in your bulletins, brings real freedom. Not just some sort of freedom, but real freedom. Freedom from what? Three things, even four things. Freedom from man's made religion. Pastor Taylor and Pastor George have been preaching from Galatians from now. It's going to be, I think, 2-3 months now. And so I have the honor, the privilege to conclude this whole series. And so we're going to do a lot of overlap. You're going to hear a lot of things that you have heard before from this book. So this is not a man's made religion. Okay? So the gospel brings freedom from man's made religion. And the Judaizers and the Pharisees and the false teachers wanted to have their own signature in the gospel. That's why they were making these people in Galatia, you have to follow me. Because I know that I have the right knowledge. I have the truth. Yes, Paul is a nice guy, but I really have the truth. That's what the false teachers were saying. So that's why you have to circumcise. You know, you have to be like one of us. All these false teachers have all their own versions of the gospel. Don't we have the same in America and in the world, the different versions of gospel, the gospel? You know, in South America, the Pentecostal church is growing, you know. And unfortunately, out of this Pentecostal church, there are other branches that are born from it, that come from it. And that's in every denomination, okay? Please don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that the Pentecostal, our brother Pentecostal brothers and sisters, you know, don't understand the gospel. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that many denominations, including the Presbyterian Church, unfortunately, have come up with their own versions of the gospel. I'm thankful for our denomination, for the PCA, who have been truth by the grace of God to the gospel, to the teaching of the gospel, or the Reformed theology, biblical theology, Christ-centered preaching. But the Pentecostal church in Peru has been grown with this tendency of that you don't have to suffer. Suffering shouldn't be part of the Christian package. And so if you are a true Christian, empowered by the Holy Spirit, you should not suffer. And you will not suffer. They even put big old signs there in the streets. And so people in third world countries, as you can imagine, if somebody tells you you don't have to suffer, what are they going to do? Join the church. Let's go to the church. Because the pastor said, I'm not going to suffer anymore if I give my life to Christ. That's a deformation of the gospel. Let's move now to America. Have you heard different gospels in the past few years? Or different stories about the world or about the church? We have things called critical race theory. We have QAnon, different versions of what's going on in the world. And we have that knowledge, but you don't. And I can name you so many other theories from other parts of the world. The big question is, do they align to the gospel? Do they bring glory and freedom? Or on the opposite, they bring oppression and they bring confusion and they bring anger and they bring selfishness. We have to contrast all these theories with the gospel. Okay? We have different narratives about what goes on in the world. Do you believe the narrative that comes from this book? Paul tells the Galatians, living the true gospel brings real freedom. Freedom from men's made religions that force you to circumcise or force you to show something external, add something extra to the gospel. Brings also real freedom from the bondage of sin. Remember, paganism and self-righteousness. So these Galatian people were at once pagans, meaning they were worshiping deities. They were worshiping demons. They were worshiping themselves. They were enslaved of sexual rituals. They were enslaved of lust and gluttony and all sorts of paganism. But they became Christians by the glory and mercies of Christ. But then, once they are in the church, yes, maybe no more paganism, right? But now they bring this other form of paganism, which is basically adding to the gospel. You see? We always like to add things to the gospel. And Paul tells them, verse 12, it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised. In verse 12, he's telling them, these people are forcing you to add things to the gospel. You know what's the gospel, right? The very essence of the gospel, as John Stott, the theologian, says, it's inwardly, meaning it's a transformation, it's a circumcision of the heart. That's what's more important to God, the circumcision of the heart that happens inwardly. Is your heart circumcised? If you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, yes, your heart has been circumcised. Amen for that. And so you get that part. But then, do you add things extra to that? Let's think about it. Do we add things extra to the gospel? Do we add extra things to the circumcision of the heart? We all do. But we must remember that once we have been bought by Jesus Christ, when he cries out on the cross, he says, "It is finished." Meaning, it's basically a transaction way of saying the debt is paid full. You have to be reminded of that. And I have to be reminded of that. That this debt has been paid full. Meaning you cannot contribute anything else to the gospel. Jesus is not going to love you more than he loves you now. Because you do of other certain things. You don't have to be in the right political party or on the left political party to be more loved, to be loved more than God. To be loved more. You don't. Christ doesn't love you on the basis of your own narratives. God doesn't love you on the basis of your worldview. God loves you on the basis of the finished work of Christ. And Paul writes in his epistles, "I have the marks of Jesus all over my body." He's always bringing glory to Christ. Who do we bring glory to? We have been, so the living the gospel, the true gospel brings freedom from man-made religions, from the bondage of sin, paganism, self-righteousness, and also from the power of the devil and from death. Do you believe that? That death is not the end for the Christian. We have been called to live in freedom. Yes, dying probably is scary. It's a very scary thing. But when you are in the hands, when you have been bought and purchased by the precious blood of Jesus, you have been covered by His blood. Even in death, you belong to Christ. As the Heidelberg Catechism tells us in the question number 1, who is your only comfort in life and death? The answer is that I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Living the true gospel brings freedom. Do you live as a free man or as a free woman? Or do you still live under the oppression of man-made religions? Or narratives? Because all this narrative that I mentioned a moment ago, they will tell you to do things or to believe things in order to get what goes on in the world. But we know what goes on in the world. We are broken people because of the original sin in Genesis 3. And we are selfish. We care more about me, myself, and I than the needs of the other brother and sisters. I care more about my personal freedom than the well-being of my brother and sister. That's me. That's Pastor Pablo. I'm selfish. And I need to ask the Lord for forgiveness. Father, help me to do Mark 12 right. Because Mark 12 says, when Jesus tells the people, says, love the Lord your God more than anything, and your neighbor as yourself. Man, that's challenging. Lord, have mercy. But one thing is to know, memorize that verse, and another different thing is to apply it. Are we applying it? Are we living in freedom or not? You know, sometimes we have to live in freedom because sometimes we ourselves bring oppression to ourselves, bringing our ego on top of the gospel, bringing my knowledge, on my skills on top of the gospel. That's what the Gnostic teachers did. They brought this, okay, so you have to have this knowledge in order to be saved. And if you have this mysterious mystical knowledge, you will not be safe. And so we are the answer to your troubles. We're the answer to the problems of the world. And we have the solution. That's what the false teachers say. Throughout history, they always say that. But we know what's the only solution. And for Paul, the solution is what? The cross. The cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. That's the solution. Do you believe that? Let's move on. So, living the true gospel brings real freedom. Living the true gospel expects suffering. Verse 13 says that, hey, you know, these people are telling you, you know, don't, yes, get circumcised so you don't have to, you know, you don't have to suffer, man. Why do you have to put yourself through this? Just circumcise. Get it over with. And they will have some, you know, a cookout or something to celebrate it. Everybody wanted to be part of the club. I mean, it's nice to belong to a group of people, right? We want to belong to a group. But is this group telling you things that go in different directions from the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or the center of this group is the Lord Jesus Christ? And we have to always think about these things. So, in verse 12 and 13, the Judaizers wants to avoid suffering or persecution because they don't, you know, they want to have comfortable lives. You know, I want to do my religious things according to them, but, you know, so we can keep our comfort, our prestige in the community. You know that suffering for the gospel may not mean that you will suffer persecution in Davidson County. Okay? But maybe for the sake of the gospel, you will suffer from being excluded from groups. Because you really believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just partially, but totally. You believe in the gospel. And when you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you really believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's going to be a transformation within your life. You're no longer the person 5 years ago or 20 years ago. And you will apply that not just to the people that you love, your family, your church, but also to your enemies. But people don't want to suffer. People back then didn't want to suffer for the gospel. I mean, and honestly, sometimes I don't want to suffer for the gospel. I don't. I have enough, you know, things going on within my life and my family, and adding suffering for the sake of the gospel, yes, yeah, I don't know if that goes well. But then what does Paul does for the sake of the gospel? Let's read 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 and 25. Living the true gospel expects suffering. I'm not saying you love suffering, but you have to expect these things. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 and 24 and 25. So, I'm sorry, are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I receive at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. 3, I was shipwrecked. 1, I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from the Gentiles, danger in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers from false brothers, etc. So, man, Paul really has a right to tell us about suffering, right? He tells the Galatians, one more call. I'm telling you, I have suffered for the gospel. That's part of the package. Jesus himself said, I have come to cause division, to disrupt families for my sake. Maybe that's your situation. Maybe there's people in your family who are saying, you know, stop going to church. Stop, you know, listening to those crazy guys from the pulpit. Why do you have to follow the gospel? You know, just don't be so strict. Just, you know, follow just the nice things of the gospel. We like to pick and choose about the gospel. Yes, I'm willing to go, like Peter said, I'm willing to die for you, Jesus. But when it comes to show self-control, he doesn't want to follow Jesus. But when it comes to pray for those who persecute you, we don't want to follow Jesus. We just want to pray for the good people. And yes, by all means, let's pray for the good people. Good people meaning converts, transformed people. But we pray for the hard people. That's part of suffering for the sake of the gospel, by the way. You know, suffering for the sake of the gospel doesn't mean that you have to take the next airplane to Afghanistan and just, you know, just be there. Suffering for the sake of the gospel also applies in Davidson County. Applies within the church. Are you at odds with somebody from the church today? Maybe you just haven't talked to them in years because something happened in the past, God knows what, and then you just suddenly stop talking to each other. Is that you? For the sake of the gospel, not for my sake or for the sake of the gospel, we must reconcile. That's the essence of the gospel. Reconciliation with God the Father through Jesus Christ. So these people, they want to avoid persecution. So Paul tells them, this is the package for the sake of the gospel, to suffer. We many times prefer the comfortable illusion that we are good people or that we don't need God to live the gospel. Yes, we need God to live the gospel. The Galatians wanted to construct a Christianity without the cross. You see, the cross was problematic back then, and it is still now. But back then, in that context, it was very problematic. You know who died on the cross, right? The worst of the worst. He became a curse for us. So this church is constructing their own Christianity away from the cross. It's a man-made Christianity, a selfish Christianity that had their own agenda. Does the American church have an agenda? Does this church have an agenda? I hope our agenda is God's agenda, which is bring glory to Him, bring the gospel to all the nations, which means Davidson County as well, teaching them to observe everything He has taught us to observe, not just some things. And so Paul reminds them of that. And he moves on, verses 14. And this is, I guess, the climax of this passage. Verse 14 says, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Wow. You know, we boast about many things. But when we live the true gospel, it will bring glory to Christ. Remember John the Baptist, before Jesus was baptized, he already had started his ministry. And the disciples of John the Baptist, they were a little confused, a little jealous about this other person in the neighborhood, Jesus. Like, okay, who is this guy? And John the Baptist tells them, you know, he is the Son of God. I'm not even worthy of untying his sandals. You must follow him, and I must decrease, and he must increase. So what is Paul doing throughout all his epistles, especially in Galatians? He is bringing glory to God, not to himself. He boasts in the cross of Jesus. Where are you boasting today? Are we boasting about our nationality before boasting on the gospel? You see, when Jesus was doing ministry in this world, remember Judas, right? Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus. You know, he wanted to see freedom from the Roman oppression at that moment, at that very moment. He had his own agenda. I want freedom from oppression, from these Roman people. And when they see Jesus doing something different, they were disappointed. He was disappointed. You see, even the people back then, you know, they were disappointed. We want freedom. We want to live a free people. Freedom is great. But in our search for freedom, are we forgetting the gospel? Let me ask you again. In our search for freedom, are we forgetting the gospel? Paul's boasting is on the cross. He says, even that the world is, he's basically saying the world is dead to me, meaning the power of the world is dead to me. I'm not interested in what the world has to offer. I mean, Paul cares for the world. That's why he's doing evangelism and ministry. But he's not embracing. He has not embraced, and he did not embrace what the world was offering. All this man-made religion. All these conspiracy theories of his days. He was not embracing them. He said, the world is dead to me, and I to the world. What are we embracing this morning? Are you embracing freedom? The freedom in Christ? Real freedom? Or are you embracing what the world has to offer? Verse 15, "For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation." You see, the Christian message that Paul has been telling people is two things: the cross, the importance of the cross, and the new creation, the transformation, the circumcision of the heart. What I mentioned earlier in the sermon. the cross and the new creation. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we surrender before Him, there's going to be a new creation. And it's beautiful to see that when we see that happening in the church. When I see people who have been not talking for many years and now talking again, because that's a great sign that the gospel has transformed their lives. That's what the gospel does. Put our pride aside. When I have been transformed by the gospel, I will not cause division within the church. I will not gossip. And if I do, that stops because I am reminded that the gospel does not call me to create division within the church. And I repent of that. And that brings glory to Christ. For Paul, it's important that you have been circumcised within the heart. That's the message he's telling the people. That will cause you to embrace the cross and to be a new creation. And finally, Paul basically in a farewell now, saying bye to them. Verse 16, and as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and the Israel of God. So, three things. John Stott helped us to understand this past part, this last portion. Basically, Paul is saying by this is that the church is the true Israel. Okay? There is this connection between the Israel from the Old Testament with the church within the New Testament. It's the one people of God. The Israel of God. Regardless of where your background, your ethnic background, if you believe in Christ Jesus, you are part of the Israel of God. And this Israel of God has a rule. Scripture alone. Paul is telling them there is just one gospel. The apostolic teachings. And he goes there and tells them, okay, you are the Israel of God. You know my teachings. You have heard my teachings. You are hearing them now. And now here's the consequence of it. The church enjoys peace and mercy only when it walks by this rule. Let me say it again. The church enjoys peace and mercy only when it walks by this rule. Many of you, are we walking by this rule? What is this rule? The Word of God. Living under this rule implies many things. Many things. That I must decrease, he must increase. That I look for the benefit of my neighbor before my own. That I always look at Christ as my only source of comfort in life and death. Do you believe that? Do I believe that? So, brothers and sisters, Paul finishes up this letter basically saying, from now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. This has been a hard letter for them to hear, okay? Because Paul is, I mean, he means business. He loves these people, and he reintroduced again the gospel to them. And even with all the pain that they have caused to Paul, Paul says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. You know why Paul is saying that, right? Because he understands the gospel. He knows that he was once enemies of God. But because of God's mercy and compassion, He brought him, He rescued him from the bondage of sin and made him a new person. So Paul gets it. That's why Paul doesn't give up on them. That's why Paul still calls them brothers. But he has done his job of exhorting them, of ministering to them. Are we doing the same? When somebody's caught in error or somebody's caught in sin, and you know it, what's your first reaction? Yes, upset, I'm angry. Well, you know. But, you know, that's an elder's issue. Not mine. We're all together in this. That's why Paul calls them brothers. You are my brother. Even though you have gone astray, I'm still going to love you as my brother. And I'm going to call you to repentance. And I'm going to pray for you. And I will continue loving you. That's our call as Christians. This is not a man-made religion. We don't contribute to our salvation. God is more interested in the circumcision of your heart, in understanding that you need Jesus, in understanding that He must be the Lord of your life. No one else. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are a faithful God. Thank you for your compassion towards us. And Father, I pray that you will challenge us, Lord, to really understand the gospel and to really apply it into our lives. Help us to bring unity. Not disunity, but unity, Lord. Help us to speak truth in love, not in anger, but in love. But most important, Lord, help us to display the beauty of Jesus in this community, within this church, with one another. Thank you for the things that you have been working in our lives. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.